We're talking about DACA, and the perfect guest to have with us is our immigration expert, historian, author of the new book, Rise and Decline, Where We Are and What We Can Do About It, his follow-up book to Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And it all started, I mean, this has really become a trilogy. It all started with Adamant Aggressors, How to Recognize and Deal with Them. Bruce Thatcher joins us right now. Bruce, how are we doing?
We're doing just fine. Thanks much. It's good to be here, Bill.
Well, always good to have you with us. Congratulations on the new book, Rise and Decline. I've been bragging a lot about you. I just think this is such a definitive book. And again, this is what we love about history and why it's so doggone important, the hope that we would not reproduce the past mistakes. But, you know, sometimes we challenge the law of gravity and have to fall off the roof and find out when we hit the ground it hurts, huh?
It's the case in many circumstances that only when we hit the bottom do we wake up.
Well, DACA becoming a big issue. There was an article, a column in the Wall Street Journal, and I love what this columnist had to say because we had, you know, I thought, well, this is interesting. You know, why isn't anybody saying anything? A couple of weeks ago when we looked at DACA, we put this at the foot of Barack Obama, and this columnist basically called Obama cruel for DACA, for what he did. I look at it also as kind of one of those Manchurian landmines that have come about after his presidency, and here we are dealing with this. I mean, he did the country, he did the Dreamers no favors. This is the Democratic Party, if you want to bring it into the partisan perspective here. But I don't think that really serves as well, because we've got a problem, and now we're gonna deal with this issue. And I think it's unfair to blame Trump for what Barack Obama knew that he was doing illegally.
Well, blaming Trump takes us nowhere, mm-hmm. absolutely nowhere, because DACA or the Dreamers, even going beyond before DACA, have been around for a long, long time, mm-hmm. before Donald Trump was even on the political landscape, and they were raised into the public consciousness by Barack Obama, and I might add, at the same time, by the inaction of Congress over decades in actually dealing with the problems that we have in immigration. So Barack Obama took all of that, turned it into a political football, and then kicked it down the road mm-hmm. the next administration to deal with. It's no favor to those youth who are genuinely concerned mm-hmm. about their situation. But I think that I think that some realities are worth taking a look at. Mm-hmm. the situation, and that is, how has it really changed for those young people since before it was ever brought up as a highly visible situation several years ago with the Dreamers' proposal in Congress, and now, and in the future? Even mm-hmm. if you look at Trump's order that says we're going to end DACA, and you look in the details of it, what he's going to do is he's going to stop accepting new applications.
Exactly.
For the deferred action. Mm-hmm. That affects, you know, the number thrown around is 800,000 mm-hmm. who currently have applied and been accepted into that program. That doesn't have anything to do with what some
the current 800,000. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And how is it? So how has their situation changed? Yeah, other than going through the emotional turmoil,
yeah,
of having expectations raised, they're no worse off than they were several years ago, and hopefully, well, Trump has used this also as a political tool to say to Congress, "Come on, get with it. Let's." Mm. That's a deal with immigration.
Well, he's kind of done that a little bit. But, you know, what you just said in a few sentences, Bruce, is something that has been, you know, greatly missing from the whole reporting process of DACA. It has been so emotionalized that we're not listening to reason. We're really not hearing what Trump is saying, even though he's come back and said, look, you're not going to get deported. I mean, basically, they've got to, and this is one thing, you can hand it to the Democrats. They know how to do a bumper sticker response. You know, something that's going to fit in an 8-second soundbite. They're really good at it. Republicans are lousy because they want to deal with the process so much and look at it on the whole due process. And people don't have that much time. And it needs to be summed up very quickly, just like you did, but even shorter still. And I'm sure if you and I thought about it, we would come up with something, you know, that would be more, you know, more to the point and get it out of the emotional aspect of this deal. Because from day one, I saw this and I told my friends very quickly, I said, just relax, take a chill pill. I mean, what he's doing is he's legitimizing these 800,000. They're not necessarily in the shadows like they were before. They're kind of in the shadow. And, you know, Barack Obama really set them up. And the columnist for Wall Street Journal is William McGurn, by the way. I want to make sure I give him proper credit for it in his article, The Cruelty of Barack Obama. And Barack Obama is very cruel to them by using them as a political point here. And I can only hope it blows up back in the Democrats' space because they're not helping this deal. I mean, they're all looking for, as you say, for political advantage, not for a resolution on behalf of these 800,000 kids that are here. And, you know, that they go down the line, you know, some, yes, some have served in the military. I think about 1% have served in the military. Most are, I think on average, I think the average income, supposedly, according to one report, is, you know, they've risen to the ranks of making about, on average, $17 an hour. I mean, that says a lot about this group, which I know is consistent with Hispanics, and that is that they're hardworking people. And they will get to work, and they're great employees. So, but we need to, you know, like so much of what our country has been influenced by, because it's been breaking laws and being rather laissez-faire about the laws, which you and I have discussed before, which is consistent in your book, your brand new book again, is that we have to be mindful of these things, because if we ignore the law, then it's the beginning of the end.
And in stirring up the whole question, as it is politically, and bringing the people out on the streets and all that kind of thing doesn't contribute anything to the resolution of the problem, because we have to get to correcting the immigration thing and the actual disposition of the status of Dreamers and all the other illegal aliens in the country is something that can only be reasonably resolved after we know what our immigration policy is.
Exactly. And I think that's the argument, Bruce, is that there's some fundamentals here that need to be resolved. Once those are resolved, then the Dreamers and all these other issues fall into place, don't you think?
I do. And there's some bills in Congress. I worry they won't go anywhere.
Okay. Well, let's talk more about it on the other side of the break. The one and only, yes, we're talking with Bruce Thatcher right here on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, America. Yes, they are still coming to America. And our guest, Bruce Thatcher, author of the book Rise and Decline, why we are where we are and what we can do about it. That is his new book, available at all the usual places and linked on our website. Well, Neil Diamond sang it years ago. They come to America. About the immigrants coming to this country, as Ronald Reagan said, the light on the shining hill. And even with all our foibles and the challenges that we're having in 21st century America, people are still drawn to this country. And I think this is maybe one of the underlying sentiments that President Trump will take to the United Nations. What do you think?
Well, I think so. We are the shining light to millions and millions and millions of people in the world. Otherwise, why do more people want to come here than anywhere else on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Because they see that light. Yeah. They see that light, and they want to be bathed in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here we are, and this is what Trump is trying to do, is to try to, I guess, put some spit shine on the Statue of Liberty, and you know, to clean up some of these problems and how we've missed the mark over the years. Like any good CEO, and for those of us that have been in business and understand, or have even been in the position at any level as a chief executive officer, one of the things that you do in assessing, you know, the institution that you're in charge of is you're going to look at the plus and minuses. You're looking at the growth and where there may have been some regressive activity. But any good CEO is going to look at its organization and say, and particularly in the case of America, where we have been missing the mark for an extended period of time, where, you know, all of a sudden even the CBO is saying, Bruce, and it just galls me, that the CBO says, no, you know, the new normal is less than 2% GDP. What? Are you kidding? I mean, you're the CBO, and you're setting the standard for our level of productivity. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I'm running my business, and I'm going to accept a lower level operative statement that says, okay, 2% increase in sales should be considered really great.
Yes, exactly. Well, you're going to go to the New York Yankees and say, okay, boys, the new normal is you can't score more than 3 runs a game. That's it, okay?
That's fair. I mean, that would be fair, really, because they have an advantage. They have
yes.
all these super players.
Exactly.
You got to make them equal.
Yeah, somehow we got to level the playing field. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's not what the free enterprise is all about. That's not what America has been about. And so Trump has come in as the CEO and said, okay, where have we missed the mark? And what you've noted in rise and decline, there are some obvious things based on history that empires that have preceded the United States of America, the mistakes that they have made, which has led to their demise.
And the overall conclusion I've come to and demonstrate is that all nations are formed with some basic principles, not our principles necessarily, but some basic principles that they considered important for their well-being. And as they adhered to those, they grew and they thrived.
Yes.
And then as they departed from them, and all of them did, as they departed from them, they declined.
Yes.
And that's what's happening to us. We have very clear and, in my view, among the finest founding principles history has to offer. And they have served us well through a couple of hundred years. But we're getting away from them. We're as I say, dishonoring those principles.
And we do so at a grave price, and this is why we have fallen at every turn, and we have justification, whether it has to do with education, our immigration process, right on down the line. There is, you know, as Donald Trump said after the first week of being in the Oval Office, and I can see this on his face still, and I don't know, I can appreciate body language, and the look on his face was one of... you know, I don't necessarily want to say fear necessarily, but it's probably as close to fear as I think Donald Trump could feel. And that is, he came out and told the reporters, goes, this is a mess. And if you've been around CEOs that have been anywhere close to, you know, inheriting a Chapter 11, you know, organization, you know, one that needed to be on Chapter 11, it reminded me of those kind of statements and looks on their face that they come in and they go, oh, my, I just looked at the P&L of this organization. It is a mess. And so it's like, OK, what do you do to right the ship? How do you start this out? And I think Donald Trump, to his credit, has been focusing on some important things. But, you know, whether it's the celebs at the Emmy Awards or, you know, the mainstream media, where 91% of their time is spent bashing Donald Trump, as opposed to, I mean, Bruce, how bad do you have to be to have that kind of bad news? 91%.
Well, it's 91% of a small segment of people.
Yeah,
and I think that they're so happy to be doing those kinds of things because they have no responsibility to do anything about it. And it's a very different thing when you're in a position where you have to actually do something about it. Correcting the problems in a troubled company always involves pain. And Trump, of course, knows that.
Right.
And it always involves, you know, somebody's gonna not like the way it has to turn out, but the survival of the company, the survival of the nation, depends on it. And to continue to poke our heads in the sand and pretend that somehow or other we don't have to deal with these painful things just means that we inevitably do have to deal with them when they become even worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, as we said in the last segment, getting back to DACA, this is a symptom of the greater problem. It's a manifestation of the greater problem that I agree with you will be solved when we take care of these issues, these immigration issues that we've wanted to ignore and, as some would say, you just kick the can down the road. And we're at that point in all things American these days, whether it is Korea or immigration or the budget, is that, you know, sometimes you just come to that point where you get to the end of the road, right?
You do. And we hope everybody involved hopes the end of the road will not be during our lifetime, but somewhere beyond our lifetime. But there's a chance with the immigration thing. There's four acts in Congress now that all, I think, are pretty good acts. And I don't speak for all the substance, but in terms of beginning to deal with immigration in a meaningful way, there's the RAISE Act, which you and I have discussed about. There's three acts recently got introduced, the Border Security Bill, the National Interest Act, and Legal Workforce Act. I'm afraid, though, that all of these have been referred to committee.
That's where all these good bills go to die. We know.
Yeah, and I'm really afraid of that. But I hope that President Trump's strategy, what I assume to be a strategy, of somehow or other embarrassing Congress or beating Congress or twisting their arms or forcing them to actually address these things will work. And DACA is really, I know the youths wouldn't like to be characterized this way, but DACA is really just a side issue on the overall issue of fixing our immigration.
Exactly. But I would agree with you, even though, you know, some might take exception to this deal, because there's no question it's been politicized. But what it should be, Bruce, I think what you're suggesting, and I would agree with you, is that we, the people, need to put the pressure where it needs to be, and that is on Congress to act, to do their job and get this resolved. When I say that we're coming down to the end of the road, it's not to the end of the road of America. I'm not quite there yet, though your book would indicate that we're following a formula of past empires, but that maybe we have a chance to get a little bit of a do-over and we can get this thing squared away. But it really this is where our Constitution has to stand up for itself. And the people, we the people, need to enforce that and put the pressure on Congress to do their job and to resolve this issue, don't we?
Yes, call your congressman.
In case you missed that, ladies and gentlemen, that directive is straightforward from Bruce Thatcher. Call your congressman, write, email, do whatever. Take 5 minutes today. Let him know enough is enough. Let's get this out of committee. Let's get this resolved. We're better than this, and this will unite this country. And this is what we need to look for, Bruce. And I think this, again, you and I have talked about this, is we have to look at these unifying factors that promote our unity and promote the goodness of the United States of America. Bruce Thatcher, author of the book Rise and Decline. Make sure you get your copy, linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com.